This time I would like to give you a little bit of information about the gospel readings, how they are done, how they are chosen for the year, and their interpretation and the preaching that properly takes place after them. If you look at that schematic of Hagia Sophia, you'll notice there's the Amvon in the center, which I pointed out earlier, which is where these readings would take place. But also at the back, there's something that says Synthronon. It might not be a word you've ever seen or heard before, but it means, Syn means together, and Thronon is a throne. As I mentioned, that the bishop would either stand in the center of the church or take his seat in his throne after the Turkish occupation. He had a second throne within the church, and that was immediately behind the altar. And he would stand there to hear the epistle and the gospel reading and the Old Testament reading that would precede both. And now we do not have an Old Testament reading in the Divine Liturgy. Instead, we have the Psalms that lead us through the beginning of the liturgy until we get to the epistle and gospel. But the bishop would stand at the back with his priests around him, much like on the paten we have the Lamb, Christ in the center, with his mother, his saints, and all of his people around him. He stands at the back like in the book of Revelations, where Christ sits on the throne with his apostles around him. So again, we can see in the structure of the liturgy this forward-looking and forward-thinking interpretation, that the bishop gets up from his throne and goes immediately to the back of the church and takes his spot where Christ sits with his priests representing Christ's apostles to hear the words of Scripture. Only the bishop of that diocese, of that metropolis or archdiocese, of that jurisdiction has the right to stand in their throne. The patriarch could come and could celebrate on LaSalle at the Cathedral of the Chicago metropolis, and he could not stand in the Synthronon, because although he is patriarch, our metropolitan is a metropolitan, and he is sovereign over his jurisdiction. When you watch Bishop Demetrius, our chancellor, celebrate, he will never stand in the center Synthronon position, because he is not the metropolitan of our metropolis. Only the bishop of that diocese has the right to do so, because they are sovereign. And they stand there surrounded to hear the Scripture. Now, you saw me just a few minutes ago, after I said Dynamis, where did I go? I turned around, I walked to the side to the protheses, and proceeded to the back. That is the vestige of this act, of the clergy being assembled at the Synthronon to hear the Scripture readings. No longer do I stand at the back. However, in the Antiochian Archdiocese, many do. I've served with Antiochian priests who, for the epistle reading, will go stand in the back attentively, as we would have 1,000 years ago. For some reason, this has been lost in the Greek Archdiocese and in the Greek-speaking churches of the Orthodox world. But it is still maintained in some jurisdictions. Now, I said there was an Old Testament reading, there is an epistle reading, and then the gospel reading. In between the epistle and the gospel, we hear Alleluia, 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 correct? 3 times. And while the epistle is being read, I'm sensing the gospel. Again, the censer and incense is used for purification. It is to purify the words, to offer pure words, but also the space that is about to be used. If we remember, everyone is sitting around the Amvon. They then get up and move and walk past the altar into the Synthronon, you can see on your schematic, and take their place. So, that space, which had not been occupied before, the Synthronon and the area around the altar, needed to be purified before it could be occupied. So, the deacons from the ambon would sense into the altar, around the altar table, and sense the synthronon. The only remnant of that now is to sense the actual gospel book. All of this can't possibly take place during the epistle reading because it is, number one, too distracting. Number two, no one would be listening to the epistle reading, and the deacon is to prompt the epistle reader. So that alleluia that we hear is actually not a response to the epistle, it's preparation for the gospel. And there would be verses, just like the antiphons, and the alleluia would be done three times, verse, three times, verse, three times, verse. And during that chanting of alleluia, the deacon would then be sensing and preparing the gospel and the synthronon to be occupied so that the clergy could stand in attentive listening to the gospel. Now, immediately following that, they would then send one of their clergymen back out to the ambon to preach. It is at this point, immediately following the scriptures, that preaching is to be conducted. As the early commentators on the liturgy say, the purpose of the sermon is to illuminate the reading. It is also to comment on things in the daily life or in the social life of the society around them, but primarily to illuminate the reading. And the reason for that is the words of Christ are eternal, and the truth that is found within them, eternal. And much of what happens in our society is fleeting and passing. And what you can do is to take the words of Christ to comment on what is happening in society, but the purpose is to start there. And that is why the sermon takes place immediately after the words. To use the eternity that is found within the first incarnation of Christ, the scripture, to illuminate our lives. And as our lives change, we must remember and change our presentation, but not the message. The gospel reading that we read is eternal, and the truth therein the same.